Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, and welcome to Everything is Fine, a podcast for women over 40. We are your hosts. I'm Kim France.
And I'm Jen Romolini.
And we've got a pretty fun episode for you guys today. I think you're really going to like it. It's with Jean Godfrey June, who both Romolini and I worked with at Lucky, and we both really adore her. And she's just an absolute encyclopedia of beauty knowledge, but she has the right take on everything. She really gets it.
Well, she's so deeply knowledgeable and just so engaged. It's just so crazy to me. I can't imagine. She's so excited by what she does. I found it so inspiring to talk to her. And I just can't imagine. I don't know if I've ever been that excited about anything for that kind of duration. So that really struck me about Jean. Yeah. That she's still like in it, knows all the shit, knows all the updated stuff. You know, it's pretty amazing.
Yep. And very inspiring.
Totally. Although I also equally felt stressed out as we were talking about it, as we've been having these discussions about beauty. And, you know, I have a friend who's our age, who's in between our ages, who told me the other day, I've just stopped looking in the mirror. Mm. I've just decided that my face has changed. I'm not taking selfies anymore. I'm not going to look in the mirror. I just don't feel like dealing with this. And, you know, she has a career that it doesn't, that like, you know, it's not like she's frontward facing and she doesn't have to care at like in presentation ways, the way you think of some traditional, like if you're a speaker or you're this, you're that. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was a really interesting take. I was like, just ban mirrors.
Well, I think that like, if that is truly who she is, you know, then cool. She doesn't give a shit, but I think she gives a shit.
Right.
I don't know her, you know, I think that if I know that feeling very much, I hate every selfie I've tried to take of myself in the past year, but I am invested. It's not like I could walk away from mirrors or selfies or any of that.
I'm just trying to like fight my way through this so that I can just be more self-accepting. I'm just trying to like, I want to be able to, yes, of course, get some enhancements, not feel bad about the enhancements. Like I want to have some, but and equally not feel this like fear of like, oh my God, the face is going to get worse. It's going to get worse every year. How ugly am I going to be? Mm-hmm. I really want to get into some like equilibrium with this. I really want this to not be a thing that takes up too much of my brain.
Yeah, no. And in that way, what she did was very inspiring. But it, you know, we're taught from such a young age for it to take up an enormous part of our brain and to be the most important thing about us, the most important outward facing thing about us anyway.
Totally. And while we were talking to Jean, I also like, I was I was just feeling like my pulse because I also was like getting thrilled. I was like, Fraxel? Thermage? Yes.
I know. It's just like a kid in a candy store listening to all the options.
Did you have those feelings too?
I did. I mean, I a little less because I know that some of the things she's talking about are painful. And, you know, she said it's painful for some people and not for others. But, like, I was going to do Fraxel. And then someone said to me, like, they did half my face and they had to beg me to do the other half because I wanted it to end so much.
Oh, that's how I was when I got my ears pierced, like when I was like six. But that's like another, I like ran out of the store that we got my ears pierced and ran down the street and my mom had to find me. And so I have these lopsided ear holes. But it is like what price keeping it up. And what she was saying was really interesting to me because it's something I've been noticing. I follow an account on Instagram called Celeb Faces. Mm-hmm. And you really get to see how much younger people are getting very serious work done. Like mm-hmm. the girls in their 20s who don't look like any age. They just look like a kind of a mask, you know?
Yeah.
And it's pretty intense. Like I know Paul Thomas Anderson for his latest movie, the movie that's coming out, I forget what it's called, but it looks amazing. You saw the trailer for it. I think you posted about it actually.
I did. And I can't remember what it's called either.
Me neither, but yeah, whatever, brain fog. But he was struggling to find a young actress who looked like she had a natural, like, 70s face.
Licorice soda.
And he had, like, a little bit. So he intentionally, I think he chose someone from the band. Am I making this up? From the band Haim? Did I make that up?
I think he picked
somebody from a band.
I've seen the trailer and she's definitely an unknown, so it makes sense that she would be someone from a band. I mean, she was an unknown to me, I should add.
I'm gonna look this up to make sure we're right. But anyway, but I thought that was interesting because I am like, one of the things Jean said is like the aesthetic has just changed so much.
Yeah.
Like for young people, the aesthetic is, you know, really big lips and really like the very Kardashian face, you mm-hmm. know, very contoured, narrow nose, the airbag cheekbones, which I will continue to call airbag cheekbones because that's what they look like to me. I feel like when I started seeing people get a lot of work done young, like, you know, preemptive, preventative Botox in their 30s, I felt like, well, you don't even know how this is going to go.
You don't know what your face is going to do. Yeah.
You don't even know what this, you're not even letting it do anything. You're just going to miss out on the whole thing.
Yep. I don't disagree with you. I think there is something, you know, I wouldn't judge anybody's decision to do whatever they're going to do with their face or their skin, but there's something really very wrong with women in their 30s getting plastic surgery.
Well, it's not wrong, right? I understand what the response... I understand why. I understand why it's happening. But I do think you're depriving yourself of an experience. Of an experience of looking at your face, learning to... watching your face change.
Mm-hmm.
Learning to come to some peace with your face, even if you do some enhancements. There's something you're missing when you're just shutting it down.
And I think that, you know, we all know women who are over 40 who are just phenomenally elegant looking and so sophisticated looking. And part of what makes them that way is that their faces have some character.
Yeah. Like, that's the other thing. Everybody's just starting to look like an Instagram filter.
Yeah.
And, like, that's... God, that's so disappointing. You know, particularly when you're in your 30s and you have this, like, really distinct face that you've finally, like, grown into, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a bummer to me. And I get why it's happening. And I get that all this shit is available and it's available at... you know, a lower and lower price point. So the point of entry is not so high, you
mm-hmm,
know,
mm-hmm.
I get it, but it makes me a little bit sad It makes me a little bit sad. Anyway, Jean had a ton to say. We answered a ton of listener questions. So I hope that this is informative and helpful for wherever people are on their beauty and vanity journey.
Very well put, Jen.
Our guest today is Jean Godfrey June. Jean is an American beauty editor and journalist. She's also the former beauty director of Lucky Magazine, where she worked with both of us. Jean currently oversees all things beauty at Goop. She is also the author of the deeply amusing and gossipy memoir, Free Gift with Purchase, My Improbable Career in Magazines and Makeup. Welcome, Jean. Thank you for being here.
Oh, it's so good to see you guys.
Really good to see you, too. I feel like it's been, I don't even know, like
100 years.
Like 100 years.
100 years, yeah.
100 years. But as I said when I got on the phone with you when we were on video, you don't age and you are still just amazingly, annoyingly beautiful. So that's why we're here.
Oh, God. Ay, ay, ay. I never know what to say to that.
Well, of course not. Of course not. It's an annoying comment. Also, you're never supposed to lead with somebody's beauty, but that is a woman's beauty. But that is what we're here to talk about today. So I'm going to start off. I'm going to start off by saying, what is or how has your beauty regimen changed, or how is it changing as you're getting older?
Let's see. No. It hasn't changed that much because I've never been like super into like, you know, a ton of makeup or that kind of thing. So my routine hasn't changed a great deal. I've always, since sort of probably sometime in my 30s, I've liked oil cleansers instead of like a cleanser, because I feel like it leaves your skin dewy. And, you know, Kim will remember, I love like a, you know, I'd rather look shiny rather than sort of dry and powdery. Oh, I think I was affected.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I'm thinking, I mean, when you mentioned oil cleanser, I had a wave of rage come at you, Jean Godfrey June, because you made me, when I was breaking out, I was having these terrible, huge, probably cystic zits, and you were like, use the oil cleanser. And I was like, Jean, that is counterintuitive. I'm not going to do it. And you made me do it, and it didn't help. And so it was the
only thing. Well, I mean, for anything to work, you have to use it for breakouts, for anything to work. You know, you got to take like 6 weeks.
It was the only beauty advice that no. I'm really getting off on the wrong foot by saying that.
I was going to say on that note, do we even need to clean our faces at this point?
Oh, that's something that I have changed now that you bring it up is, I don't think, I mean, people differ on this, you know, very much so. And I think it just depends on your skin, but I feel that my skin is not dirty when I wake up. I haven't been doing anything. I've been sleeping. Mm-hmm. So I don't wash my skin when I wake up at all. I just put on vitamin C first thing. I think that's the most important thing anybody should do, any skin type, is vitamin C first thing in the morning.
Can I mix my vitamin C with my other products, Jean? Because that's what I've been doing.
I mean, you can, but vitamin C is a little bit of an acid. So, like, if you mix it with moisturizer or sunscreen, it's going to be a little less effective. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be, like, dramatically so. But if you put it, I like to put it on, you know, and zhuzh around for, you know, a couple of minutes while I'm doing something else, brushing my teeth or whatever. And then I go in with, like, a moisturizer afterwards.
Hmm. So yeah, so that's really okay. The vitamin C thing, I have figured that out. I went to my dermatologist this year and she was like, it's vitamin C, retinol, and sunscreen.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's very good advice.
Okay. Why do you use retinol? Because it's not natural beauty, and I know that. Okay.
There are definitely natural, you know, clean, otherwise clean, beauty, you know, products that have retinol in them. You know, retinol is controversial, and some people feel it's not good for your skin and other people feel it's good. If you talk to a dermatologist, they will tell you to use it. On Goop, we don't have it within our clean standards, so we don't sell it. We're right about it. But as an ingredient, it's very, people go back and forth, and it's certainly, there are a lot of studies certainly with retinoids, prescription retin-A, that are really positive for all kinds of things about your skin, and not even just your skin. I think they use it in you know,
cancer trials with lung cancer and things like that. So it's a pretty well-tested ingredient, and it does really work to make your skin look better. The issue with it for me, like I used it for a very long time, and I started getting, like, I felt like I got similar results with creams that didn't have it sometimes, and I'm sure a dermatologist would be like, huh, that isn't true. But the one thing that it does to me, I have kind of pale skin, and so it, you know, it makes my skin red the next day, and which is not so flattering. So, you know, I think if you like how your skin is when you're using retinol, it's a good ingredient. It's definitely like recommended by every medical person in dermatology that there is.
Now, my dermatologist, I have very sensitive skin, so my dermatologist told me, like, no retinol for me.
Yeah, it definitely is sensitizing and can make you red and itchy and that kind of thing.
So what do you suggest for people who can't use it?
Let's see. What I would use is I definitely use vitamin C in the mornings, but regardless, I'd use vitamin C in the mornings. But then for sort of a treatment product is what you're asking, there are a lot of different kinds of ingredients that do work to make your skin look better. Things like peptides. There are exfoliating things like alpha hydroxy acids, which a lot of times sensitive skin has a real problem with, or, fruit acids, all different kinds of exfoliants. It depends on your skin, again, whether you can tolerate those. Those will also sort of give you a glow, and retinoids work to make your skin turn over faster. When you're a baby, your skin turns over super fast, and that's why baby skin is so beautiful. And as we age, of course, it slows. And so when you do something like put on a retinoid or an alpha hydroxy acid or even just a scrub, you're taking away some of the dead skin cells and encouraging your fresh, lovely looking ones to come to the surface. And that's why it makes your skin look better. It also makes your skin function a little better.
How?
But through that process of it's taking off the dead skin cells, which, you know, when you were younger, your skin just sloughed them off. And as you get older, they kind of stick around and make your skin look sort of dull and uneven.
So we need to make that process happen for ourselves more. We need to sort of generate that sort of renewal of the skin underneath, and whether that's like a roller or a product or an exfoliant, something is that.
Yeah. A roller probably wouldn't do it, but, okay. But definitely, anything exfoliating, even, you know, using a washcloth, you know, where you're sloughing off does slough away dead skin cells. But scrubs and washcloths are sort of uneven. The problem with those are called physical exfoliators, you know, like grains and, you know, something that's sort of rough on your skin. It is rough on your skin, and it takes the skin cells off not as uniformly as something like an alpha hydroxy acid or a retinoid, which is a chemical exfoliant.
Jean, do you remember there was an actress when we were at Lucky, you guys went to a lunch or something, and there was an actress there who said, I shave my face. I have always shaved my face.
Yeah, people, that is a thing. That's you can go to a salon and get like microplaning or microdermaplaning, and people have versions of that they do at home. That's the same thing. It's exfoliating. It's, any kind of peel that's exfoliating. But then that's one way of keeping your skin looking fresh and for people with sensitive skin, exfoliating still, you know, causes problems for them a lot of the time. So there are ingredients like a lot of peptides don't have sort of irritating or exfoliating properties. There are products that just have like 1,000 fabulous botanicals in them that people, including myself, get results from, like Vintner's Daughter. If you've heard of that, you know, cult serum. I know you hate the term cult. I feel like it makes my skin look better. Do I know what it's doing? I don't. But it's not exfoliating. There's a you know, there's different peptides that, you know, are in every kind of cream. And those things are more gentle ways of...
Is there a trend? It seems to me like there's a little trend in beauty now. Like, I use this Kosas face oil. And and it seems like there are more and more products like Bobbi Brown's new line that are both makeup and beauty product. Is that a trend?
Yeah.
Or has this been a trend for a while?
I think people always say that. Like, I can't tell you how many, like, you know, oh, this foundation is packed with blah, blah, blah skincare. That has been going on for a long time. But it hasn't been really true. I mean, there are a lot of products that are like, this is, you know, made with aloe. And it has, like, you know, the tiniest drop of aloe in it, you know, that ever was. That's true for, you know, cosmetic creams as well as makeup. And a lot of times they'll say, you know, this makeup is really skincare, you know, blah, blah. But like you use Bobbi Brown's example. I think that really is skincare. Like, she takes her balm that, you know, she wants for moisturizing and it's, you know, the best possible formula for that. And then she tints it, you know. So I think it depends. I think it is a little trend almost just because of her, because of Jones Road. That, that brand is so fantastic, I think. It's just absolutely, like, makes, you know, I put on their tinted balm that looks like, it looks like it would be too dark for me. It's like a bronzy color, and it just kind of wakes up my face, moisturizes, and I'm done. I feel good.
The Miracle Balm, right?
Yes.
The Miracle Balm by Bobbi Brown. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. Okay. It's not Bobbi Brown where you go to the counter and it says Bobbi Brown. It's a brand called Jones Road.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I got some of that, and I got her mascara, the Jones Road mascara, which is outrageous. Outrageous.
Yeah, amazing.
Outrageous. Amazing. Good.
Yes. And what I'm telling you, and the thing about this mascara that I love, other than the fact that it makes my lashes very thick and very long, is that, you know how, like, you know, 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, you're maybe going out or somebody, you know, your boyfriend's coming home, so you want to look nice, so you put on more mascara, and it always feels really, like, wrong to put more mascara on when you already, like, have someone on your face.
Crunchy on top of crunchy.
Crunchy on top of crunchy. This doesn't do that. You can totally add another layer much later in the day. It's a miracle.
Well, this was going to be my question, Jean, because everybody wants to have a perfect mascara. Is this a good mascara?
Right. If the mascara that I use at the moment is Jones Road. It's clean. Also, like, the stuff that's in conventional mascara is so gnarly. Yet, of course, you know, the for a long time there were trade-offs, and, like, to have a clean mascara, it didn't have the performance that a conventional one did, and the Bobbi Brown one is better than all of them, and it's clean. It doesn't have any of the common, you know, I mean, it has, like, the conventional mascara has, like, coal tar byproducts, and you're putting it, you're not even just putting it on your skin, which is absorptive, but your eyes, you know, right, which are, you know, a portal into your body, as well as, I just learned, this is how remedial I am, I just learned from my son, that you have brain tissue in your eyes.
Really?
Oh, shit.
Yes. Yeah. You have brain tissue in your eyes, and that's part of why going for a walk is calming, is because when you walk forward, it reduces fear. It's some kind of, like, you know, once you're a human being and you're walking forward, it was on a Dax podcast with some neurological expert. And so you can reduce anxiety just by walking forward and looking where you're going. Anyway.
That's really interesting. I'm glad we took that segue. I am.
Sorry.
It actually leads me to, if we're going to talk about mascara, a listener, I'm going to pepper in the conversation with listener questions. A listener wanted to know if powder eyeshadow, should we even bother anymore when we have these crepey eyelids? Is it all about the sort of cream eyeshadows, or is there an eyeshadow situation when you have this, like, how do you just deal with this, like, the old eyelid?
Well, I mean, it depends on what old eyelid you have. you know, there's people, I'm trying to think of some, you know, people who have those gorgeous, deep-set eyes.
Yes.
You know, that like, they can put on all the eyeshadow they want, and it will look fabulous. And, you know, I don't think anybody's getting up close enough to you to be like, oh, what's that creepy wrinkle in your eye? Right. That said, I have the like eyelids that are that sort of like, it's almost like there's too much fat in them. There's not, you know, it's like kind of droops.
Like you're
down.
Grown another eyelid. That's what I have. I have like two. Yeah.
And that, you know, that never, whether, I mean, I had that when I was young and it just doesn't look good with eyeshadow. It just doesn't, eyeshadow doesn't improve the way your eye looks if you have that, for me. So I kind of think it's less about age and more about the shape of your eye. But that said, I always like a creamy texture that it's more nice to your skin. I feel like powdery is like, to me, I associate powdery with sort of old and masks and, you know, I like, if you're going to wear makeup, I want it to like merge with your skin and feel like part of you instead of a mask you're putting on, if that makes sense. And for some reason, like a texture of a, you know, a matte or dry or flaky texture makes me be like, oh, that isn't human.
Right. No, that's fair. And also, as you know, I feel like the powders really do pick up in all your fine lines in a way that something that's not matte and not powdered doesn't.
Yeah, well, they tend to have sort of more mica and even, you know, like the titanium dioxide and those kinds of things that reflect light in little speckles, and that naturally plays up an imperfection, right, wherever it might be.
Now, Jean, can we talk for one second about those at-home LED therapy devices that look like Halloween masks?
Yes.
Like, do they work?
I think they work a little, you know, and anything you do a little over, you know, if you're that dedicated and you're that person, who I am not, I don't have it in me to put on a Halloween mask every night, or even several times a week, or even once a week. It's terrible, but I don't. Like, you know, I would rather, you know, if I was going to get a light treatment, I'd go to a dermatologist and get like, you know, the intense version once a year rather than, you know, doing it at home. That, you know, that obviously, if I had different access, you know, I might feel very differently about that equation. But they do work, you know. And it's true that, like, say you're allergic to dairy and every day you put milk in your coffee, you know, that adds up. Even though it's a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think putting those things on, if you've got the bandwidth to do it, if you're like, yes, this feels good, I don't mind it, I'll do it while I watch, you know, Netflix, whatever it is, you know, it's not doing nothing. It's not a scam. Does work. Is it like going to the dermatologist? No.
Okay. Now, this brings me to my next question. You used to say to me that facials are a waste of time, and that if you had anything mm-hmm. that you really wanted to get done to your face, to go to a cosmetic dermatologist. Do you still feel that way?
I do, but if the reason you're going to the facialist is like, I want, you know, lasting change in my skin, I mean, you know. It also depends on the person, you know, like if you love facials, and again, if you're going to go regularly and you're going to do it all the time, it's probably good for your skin and it's probably great. It also depends on the person who's doing the facial. I have had facials from people. If you've ever had, you know, a facial from Tammy Fender, you know, she has a beauty product line, but she also has a spa in Palm Beach. And like, you know, it just, I had the experience of I went and got a facial and I had to jump on a plane afterwards. So I had to run out of there and get to the airport, and I get to the airport and, like, you know, it's like mayhem at the airport. There's lines, there's da, 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 da. I get up to the TSA person, and the TSA person is like, looks at my, you know, ID, and then looks at me and is like, ma'am, can I just say that you are glowing? And that is, hand to God, that happened. And I was like, okay, a facial from Tammy Fender really is worth it. It was, you know, do I think that if someone's hoping for, you know, major changes in the way their skin is looking, I think it's faster and probably cheaper in the long run if you go to a dermatologist. But
and what would you get when you went to the dermatologist?
Well, it would depend on what your issue was and what you weren't liking. You know, because there are people who go for acne. There's people who go for aging. There's people who go for dry skin. There's people who go for eczema, you know.
And all right, well, let's just say we're all old. Let's say
we're all, yeah. Let's see. There's so much that you could do at a dermatologist. One of the easiest things, like we were talking about the light treatments earlier, the at-home ones, that, you know, you can go to a dermatologist and get something called Clear and Brilliant that's you know, a stronger version of that, that really makes a difference in how you look. You know, you'll be like glowier. You can get you know, I think peels are fine to get at you know, at doesn't matter, you know, if you're getting a glycolic acid peel or something, as long as you really trust your esthetician, that's absolutely fine. You know, you don't have to do that at a dermatologist. But there are all kinds of like firming kinds of lasers. There are lasers that get rid of, you know, dark spots and unevenness and stuff in your skin. Like there's 1,000 lasers that the dermatologists have to treat different kinds of things that are related to aging. So like, you know, there's the sagging of your skin, there's the texture of your skin, there's the wrinkles in your skin. So there's different treatments for all that. For wrinkles, Botox. If you don't like your wrinkles, you don't have to have them. Firmness, which, you know, a lot of people get sagging, especially around like the jawline, you can get, there's the famous book, I feel bad about my neck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By Nora Ephron. They now, like, if you went and got something, a laser called Althera or, Thermage, and combine that with a little Botox, you would no longer feel bad about your neck. Some people also take, they'll take a little fat out of from right below their jaw with Cool Sculpting, which is where they freeze a little bit of the fat, and that just takes it away. So there's a lot of sort of non-invasive things that would really change, you know, whatever was bothering you.
Right, right. What about, and Althera is amazing. Althera, I think, is the miracle laser. I really do. Because it hurts, but not that bad. I think it's overrated. I mean, I might have, who knows? Who knows if you have a high tolerance? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I have found is that different things hurt differently to different people. Because I, you know, I've had Althera, doesn't bother me particularly at all. You know, some people have to like take a drug, you know, in order to endure it. And I went for a treatment that was not a face, but it was a body treatment. And it was supposed to like, tighten your abs or something. And you were supposed to go 3 times and for 30 minutes each. And so I go in, I was like, oh, this will be fine. No problem. And I literally immediately got up. Like I was just like, I can't possibly do this. This is intolerable pain. What kind of crazy person would do this 3 times a year, you know, to supposedly have, you know, like, anyway. But then I had my assistant go instead. We had to try this thing out. And she was like, oh yeah, it wasn't that bad at all. So I think it really depends not just on your pain tolerance, but on your pain tolerance in that particular area with that particular thing.
And now let's take a quick break for some ads.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And we're back. So that's like, we just talked about the neck, which is a big one for a lot of people this age. The second thing I wanted to talk about in this sort of like big ones, hands. What do you do about like sort of crepey hands, age spots on our hands, if they're bothering you?
Yeah, if they're bothering you, I mean, number one, the thing, no matter what age you are, you should always be taking mineral, not chemical sunscreen, and putting it on the backs of your hands all the time, every time you wash your hands.
Really?
Because your hands get more, like, I keep a little mineral sunscreen in my makeup bag, because, you know, you go out to lunch, you wash your hands, I put it back on. Because I had a formative experience. I think I was doing media training for like Elle 1,000 years ago. And the woman who was the media trainer was very, very old, but had a very like completely ageless face. Like, you know, because they used to do those kind of peels that just ripped everything from your face. And so she just had like a ghost, very no wrinkle face. But then she had hands that were, you know, her close to 80 or so age. And I was like, oh my God, you got to remember the hands.
Right now, it's really true.
So sunscreen number one. And the thing, you know, even if you are 80, when you put that sunscreen on, it makes it so that like when you're outside, your skin isn't having to defend itself and it can work on repairing itself instead. So you're never too old to put sunscreen on the backs of your hands. And that's A. B, I really like, I think peels, even if you have sensitive skin, your hands are tougher than your face. Mm-hmm. So like we have, Goop makes a overnight peel that's 15% glycolic acid. It's really strong. Like, Kim, you would not want to try it on your face. But it has one side of the pad is like a face texture, and then the other side of the pad is like a rougher texture. And you can rub it into, you know, if you break out on your back, you can do that. Like, but also I put it on the backs of my hands. Alpha hydroxy acids are really good for just improving, you know, you're never a dark spot, you're never going to get rid of without going to a dermatologist. They can zap it off, but then you have to keep using sunscreen or it'll come back. If you're using something like alpha hydroxy acids, retinol, or vitamin C, all of those things can like take it down a little bit, but it's not going to get rid of a dark spot. That's just something to know. So I also, you know, if I have a little leftover vitamin C when I'm putting it on my face, I put it on the backs of my hands. And then the other thing that I have no experience with, so I can only say that it occurs, is that people put filler in their hands.
Really?
When they look, yeah. And they, you know, it's a small amount of filler, so it's not like you're going to have these lumpy hands, but it supposedly just smooths it out so that you, like, your veins aren't as noticeable and that kind of thing. I haven't gone there, but I was just at a foot surgeon the other day. Not that I needed foot surgery, but they were showing sort of like that Goop might be interested in you know, this new kind of foot podiatry, you know, practice. And one of the things that they said they did was that, I guess, women who are wearing high heels are always, you know, on the ball of their foot. So even women in their 30s can end up with the pad at the ball of their foot being, you know, totally diminished. And so they have a lot of pain. And they're like, yeah, if you put a particular filler under there, you know, where that pad used to be, it makes a pad. And then you don't. So, you know, you hear the word filler and you think, ew, crazy lips, you know, but they use it for all kinds of weird things. And it can be used in a diffuse way on top of the hands so that it's just kind of smoothing your hands out rather than. But you can do Fraxel, which is a radio frequency kind of treatment that they do on people's faces a lot. You can also do that on your hands, and that'll deal a bit with dark spots, definitely with crepiness and that kind of thing. So people do a lot of the things that they do on their faces dermatologically to their hands.
You know, I remember once hearing that Anna Wintour got that those injections in the ball of her foot. Which, even if it's not true, it pleases me to think. Yes. But I want to know,
for sure,
what are your absolute drugstore hero products?
Number one drugstore product, like of all time, love it more than anything, can't get enough of it, is Weleda Skin Food. It comes in a green tube. The one I like is the original, not the light. And it's just like this thick cream that I feel like is as close to creme de la mer, like I think it's better than creme de la mer in terms of just like moisturizing and like nourishing your skin. And it, you know, it's, I think it's almost 100 years old, the formula, and it's just every like good for you botanical and like whatever, but it also has kind of the magical property, and I swear it does. And I like save it so that I don't use it every day so that I can get the effect. It like makes your skin look better. Like if you put it on, you know, and you'll be like, oh, well, look at me. I look great. And you don't, you know, do you need all your makeup? You might not. So I can't remember how much money it costs, but it's probably about $20 somewhere in there. And you can use it on your body. It smells amazing. Like it's the best product in the drugstore by a million miles.
Wait, I want to go back to fillers for a section.
Yes.
A second. Because
yes.
Obviously, I mean, fillers are kind of what I feel like fillers have replaced the facelift, right? So everybody's getting fillers, and a lot of times you just keep getting them, you wind up having these like airbag cheeks, right? And it's like it's pretty crazy. And they're not that natural. And I'm just wondering how you feel about them, because I feel like it's just like the solution we're turning to too much in a way.
Well, I think the main problem with fillers is obviously overusing them. And like, I'm always like, never touch your lips ever. But I have to codify that by saying, well, I've never seen someone who had their lips done that I knew they had their lips done.
Right.
Unless it was done badly.
Yeah.
You know, because if somebody did a great job, you wouldn't know.
Right.
So that is sort of a one problem. And it's similar, the cheeks, the big thing is that like a little bit of, it depends on why you're getting filler for your cheek. But a lot of people get it to pull up their face a bit because they don't like the hideously named wrinkles that are right around your mouth called the nasolabial fold.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So everybody's like, oh, you know, if you pull up by putting the, you know, some filler in there, it takes away that wrinkle. And people are staring at the wrinkle and they're like, look, it's gone. I look great. And they don't, you know, if that's your only goal is to fix like a particular part of your face and you're forgetting about the rest, the whole, you know, it's partly the dermatologist's fault, But also, you know, as you know, like, society is changing. And I mean, if you watch Love Island, you know, you will see 20-year-olds with, like, lip injections, mm-hmm. you know, boob jobs, yep. and freaking crazy cheeks. And, like, there's some guys in there that are like, I love her. She's got fake lips, fake cheeks. It's gorgeous. You know, and, like, it's so, you know, we do live in an odd society. You know, and so I'm assuming here that we want to not look like that. I don't want to look that, but like that, but some people do want to look
totally,
like that.
Totally.
Yeah.
And it's a little like, I think with any kind of dermatological thing is a lot like, getting highlights. You can get highlights, and then the next time you go, you're like, okay, well, I don't see them as much because you're kind of used to them. And so they give a little more. And then the next time you get a little more, and pretty soon you have blonde hair, you don't have highlights.
Right, totally.
Because you lose a perspective. And so it's important, like, look at pictures of yourself, you know, and just, I always just, anyone that I go to, I'm just like, I don't want anyone to know I did that. This has to be the most natural, blah, blah, you know.
Yes.
And they usually understand that, you know, rather than somebody coming in and being like, I want to look good on Instagram, you know.
Right.
But I'm like, I have gotten, I've gotten fillers a couple times, and not in a couple of years, and I'm kind of really game to do it again. And I feel like I go to somebody good who, and it never looks obvious, and it not only never looks obvious, it never entirely looks like she did anything at all. And like I'm kind of into like maybe a little more, but it scares me too.
Yeah, I mean, that it's usually like I think it's good. If, and I assume your dermatologist is like this, but they're looking at you holistically. So they aren't like, how can we improve your face with filler? Mm-hmm. They're going, a little filler here. Maybe you want to try Althera for this part of your face. You want to do, you know, Fraxel for your skin. You know, whatever it is that you're sort of wanting addressed. Like when I'm looking at a filler, I have crazy under eye circles. All I want is to not have that. Nothing will get rid of it.
That was another question, actually, because I remember you saying to me, like, concealer is the only cure for under eye circles.
Concealer is the only thing you can do. And, you know, there's some surgery where they can take a little fat out of your under eye pad, and that just sounds really traumatic to me. But maybe it's not so bad. You know, I'm just waiting for them to come up with something, but they have not. And anyone who tells you that they have, so far, it's just not there. There's no, you know, you can get rid of crow's feet with Botox, but you can't get rid of puffy under eyes or under eye circles. And Bobbi Brown, speaking of, we had her on our podcast, and she talked about, she was like, you know, she's like, of course, you know, you can use a little concealer, but like, every human being has some, like, under eye circles. Like, why don't we just accept that that's part of what we look like?
Well, it's true.
I thought it was funny come from her.
Well, also, somebody once told me that, like, French people don't mind under eye circles because it's an indication that you were up all night fucking someone.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you think about it that way. I don't mind them as much as the other shit. I mean, the other shit just feels like the face melting feels like a much bigger issue to me than the under eye circles. But the
face melting. You mean just sagging?
Just like the whole sagging of it, you know, and the losing of the collagen.
The sagging, there is a thing that I have not tried, but a lot of people do, and a lot, you know, dermatologists and plastic surgeons are very divided on it, but there's a thing called threading that it sounds really drastic, but I've seen videos of people getting it, and I know people who've gotten it, and it's like a, you know, you kind of maybe a little bruise the next day and that's it, but they put these threads of hyaluronic acid under your skin and they attach them to these sort of weird hooks, and it's like a facelift for about 2 years.
Huh.
And it does work.
Wow.
I mean, I've definitely seen it on people, and it look, you know, I have not personally done it, but that is a sagging thing that is happening and is pretty standard at this point. That's but also the thing, you know, anything like Althera or Thermage, And there's a new thing called tripolar. All those kinds of lasers address sort of the sagging.
Jean, if you, Jean Godfrey June, were to go to the plastic surgeon and say, do X for me, what would X be?
I had to have sinus surgery during COVID. Mm-hmm. It was sort of a tooth sinus situation. It was such a bummer. And it reminded me how intense actual surgery is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I've always been like in my head, I'm like, oh, maybe someday I'll go and God knows what, you know.
get a neck and, lift, whatever. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't get a neck lift. Like, if you're getting a facelift, then get a neck lift. But otherwise, why not just do Ulthera and Botox? It does the same thing and is much less invasive. But if you're bothering to get a facelift, yeah, do the whole thing. I have a couple of friends who have done the whole thing that you know, I was like, really? I didn't even know you did something, you know? And I'm like, oh, now I'm at that age. I mean, the one thing that, like, if I had however long it takes, they always say a week, but I just figure they're lying, you know, maybe it's 2 weeks. There's a surgery where they can take the fat out of your upper eyelid. And it's a very easy surgery, and apparently. And like my mom talks about how like she almost qualifies insurance wise to get that surgery, you know, paid for by insurance because you know, she's older. So it gets hard for you to see, apparently.
Right. If your eyelids get so big and you can't see, there's a test they do. My mom talks about this too. There's a test they do to see if you can see, and then you can get this surgery. Insurance will pay for it. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm like, well, I guess maybe I want to get that before I have to wait till before it is covered by insurance. But then I'm like, well, would I actually do it? It's like, when do you schedule the free 2 weeks where you don't see anyone? When is that? So I don't know, but that's what I'd get.
I'm going to switch topics because I want to talk about thinning hair, and I want to make sure I want to talk about all the hair stuff, the thinning hair, the thinning eyebrows, the thinning eyelashes. What do we do for these things?
Okay. Let's see. Thinning hair, the first thing you would want to go to a doctor, get like all your hormones checked and stuff. You know, it can be thinning hair can be a sign of all kinds of different health problems. So it's like if you're having thinning hair and you didn't just have a baby, then that is the first place I would go as a regular doctor. Say this is happening. I need you to test for everything. But then from there, there are all kinds of, obviously you can get hair transplants. You can use things like minoxidil. So there's drugs, there's surgery, and then there's sort of, you know, preventing, and maybe you're having just a little hair loss. We all lose hair as we age, you know, but it's just at different rates, of course. Every hairstylist that I've ever talked to, you know, and they're just anecdotal, but they all do say the same thing, is like, you know, brush or, that massage that you get when you go and get your hair cut, you know, when they're putting in the shampoo, mm-hmm. and you get that incredible massage. Like, if you can do that for yourself in the shower as often as you can, you know, just stimulating the body, just, you know, hopefully bringing some circulation up there is helpful. So that's the, and then there's things that sort of thicken your hair or make your hair look softer. You know, your hair also changes texture as it gets grayer and grayer, mm-hmm. Which really sucks.
It's happening to me right now, and my hair is, I can't style it. Like, I'm about 50% gray now, according to my hairdresser, and it's totally changing what I can do with my hair.
Yeah, it really changes the texture, and like, I really like, I think masks do make a difference. They make a temporary difference, but Goop just came out with this hair serum that you put on before you shampoo. And I, to be honest, was totally skeptical. I always think hair oil doesn't work for me. Like, it just sort of sits there, and it's not hair oil. It's this serum. And you got to try it. Like it, if that's what's bothering you, the texture change, it really makes a difference in the texture change.
Really?
Like it's worth. Another one that I really like, that's a different thing, that's a before a shampoo. After a shampoo, I went, actually Andrea Lynette told me to go to this salon Headdress mm-hmm. in the East Village, and I didn't want a haircut. And so they were like, do you want a hair treatment? So they gave me this Rahua mask, which you can just buy. It's not just for salons. You can buy it, mask. And they just heated up my hair like blow dryer. Mm-hmm. And that lasted like a couple of shampoos. For me, the Goop lasts two shampoos. Mm. And this one also was like two or three shampoos. And, you know, shine and texture and softness, kind of like I once got one of those. I was in India and they drop oil on your third eye for an hour and a half. And obviously your hair becomes full of oil. And it took me like, I think, seven shampoos a row to even like get it out a little bit. But it stayed in my hair. Like that stayed in my hair for, it felt like a month at least. And I feel like the Rahua did that a little bit. And I have to say the Goop does that. And it also, like, weirdly, it doesn't make any sense, but it also gives you some volume. Like, it gives both volume and softness and shine, which those always seem to be competing things, but somehow it happens.
What about your eyebrows and eyelashes? I know that there are those things, but I don't, do you mm-hmm. know what I'm talking about? The, like, regrowths. Yeah. Do they work?
The regrowth for you can use Latisse, which is the prescription product for eyelashes. You can also use it for eyebrows. It's off-label, but it does the same thing. Mm-hmm. But my problem with Latisse, which some people have, is that it makes my eyelids red. Hmm. And so the end result is really not a beautiful look. And so I can't use it. And I, like, it does, like, for your average person, if it doesn't make your eyes red, it really works. And it's, you know, makes a dramatic difference. You definitely lose lashes as you're older. I remember like hearing some interview with Kathleen Turner, and she was like, they were like, what's your desert island beauty product? And she was like, mascara. And I was like 20 something. And I was like, why would mascara be your beauty product?
Yeah. You know?
It definitely changes, and it definitely changed for me. And Latisse works, and if I could use it, I would be spending that money right now. and as far as I know, there isn't, you know, anything that does work has some of that, you know, prescription chemical in there, and they're using it, you know, secretly. I don't know of it. I've never seen anything that worked that wasn't Latisse or like rebottled Latisse. But maybe someone will come up with something. The other thing to note about eyebrows, there's a couple of things. One is that we have this guy, a group that we work with for like diet things and stuff, and he's very good with autoimmune, which I have a lot of it in my family. And he said, if you're, I think it's your outer, it's from your arch outwards, like if you have an autoimmune disease, that will either like really thin out or lose its color. Hmm. And he's like, I can always tell when I get a new patient, they'll be like, before they open their mouth, they're like, by the way, I have this autoimmune situation. So I thought that was interesting. There are, for eyebrows, there's like, you know, you can, it depends on sort of your will, you know, how much time you want to spend. There are products that have like little hairs in them, mm-hmm. you know, so you can, that to me seems like a lot. There's also some people just draw little hairs almost with, there's like brow gels that are tinted mm-hmm. and you kind of feather them like, hairs, and they're giving you a little tint also. Mm-hmm. But those are the main things. The other weird thing with age, this is just something for a younger person listening, I used to get my eyebrows plucked rather than using wax, because I used Retin-A and it makes your skin too thin, and it'll, so I always had my brows plucked, and I think sometime in my early 40s, I realized, like, oh, I don't have to pluck my brows anymore. Yeah. This is now permanent.
Yeah.
It just, like, so if you pluck your brows in a good shape that you really like, it's going to stay for the rest of your days. So
can we talk for a minute? This was a reader question, and I'm on board with it too. Like, what to do about peach fuzz that gets so aggressive in its growth?
Let's see. There, some people use something, you know, something along the lines of Nair, which for a lot of people would probably give them a reaction on their facial skin, but sometimes not. You could do the face microplaning. There's a, you know, the, like, I would look that up. That will totally work. Like, it's, you know, it'll take away. There's also, if you can get lasers, you can get at-home ones, or you could go to a dermatologist that will take that off.
Right.
I want to make sure before we go that we're also addressing black and brown skin. Mm-hmm. Like, are there products that you've come across for black and brown skin, or specific things that you're like, absolutely, that's something you should be using?
I work with a lot of black women, and they, you know, the, and the one thing, like, I remember we got an invitation to go to an event, a beauty event, and it was just for black women, and it was not a black owned brand, and they had a skincare line that was for black and brown skin, and we were like, I was like, how do you feel about this? And my coworker was like, that's kind of weird. Like, you wouldn't be like, this is just for Caucasian skin.
Right.
You know, skin is skin. And so I, like, as far as a product that works better for brown skin, the one thing that I think is important is a lot of times people with melanin-rich skin are like, oh, I don't need sunscreen. And that is definitely a fallacy. As you know, Bob Marley died of skin cancer. And there are so many good, you know, in mineral sunscreen, which, you know, has a reputation of being hard to rub in, especially if your skin is darker. There, you know, like Venus Williams makes a brand called 11 that's like, makes this sunscreen serum. It sinks right in. Like, it's fabulous no matter what skin tone you are. So, The exception would be hair wise, you know, different, just like, you know, super straight, volumeless hair is, you know, needs different products than curly hair. And certainly, you know, someone who's got an afro or has, you know, like, is going to need, is going to, you know, their hair is going to respond to different products better. Like, a hair oil that, you know, is too much for me is great for, you know, a woman I work with who has, like, beautiful natural black hair, you know.
Right.
And one thing to note about black hair in particular is, you know, you probably know this, but the conventional beauty industry has treated black women to, like, extra layers of, like, chemicals that are bad for you. And it's that, like, in some kind of categories of products, it's like 40% more. Like, it's really, like, just absolutely awful. And so if ever there were a reason to go clean, especially if you're using products designed for black hair, I would use clean products designed for black hair.
Good to know. This has been so educational, Jean,
we got through all of our questions.
Oh, so good.
You're so good. You, like, yeah, answered, like, double questions at a time. How do you stay engaged with, like, you've been doing this for so long. Before we go, I just want to know, because you still seem really into it. And I think that's so exciting and admirable and kind of inspiring that you've been in beauty. How do you stay engaged with it? How does it continue to feel rewarding, I guess?
Well, it's rewarding when people ask you questions.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's still, no matter what your age, no matter what your perspective, you know, you still are like, oh, could I look better? Could I feel better? You know, and so that is, it's just kind of a universal interest.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing, you know, I love to write, and it gives me a chance to write where people will read what I write. So.
Right.
Where can people find you, Jean?
Goop.com. That is That is it. And you won't see my name on, there's an Ask Jean column, there's a Godfrey column, but a lot of what I write, most of what we write at Goop isn't bylined. So that you definitely, if you want my perspective, go to goop.com.
Thank you so much for coming on, Jean. It's always such a pleasure to talk to you.
So good to talk to you, and hopefully I'll see you guys sometime soon.
Yes. I know.
Thanks, Jean.
Thanks for listening to Everything is Fine. We are your hosts. I'm Jen Romolini.
And I'm Kim France.
If you like the show, please rate and review it. I know I say this every week, but it really does help us find new audience. If you want to support the show and get access to some cool monthly events and exclusive content, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/everythingisfine. We are on Instagram at EIF Podcast. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook. If you want to email us, you can email us at everythingisfinethepodcast@gmail.com. And you can find Kim on her blog, girlsofacertainage.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.